but it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from, where I am today, you know the reason why. Feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I feel a change in my life. For a very long time, but every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus, He came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. I feel a change in my life. I feel His Spirit down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. Oh, I feel a change. Let's stand and sing it this morning. Oh, I feel a change in my life. I feel His Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God very much alive. Oh, I feel a change in my life. I feel a change in my life. Oh, Lord, feel Your Spirit deep down inside. I serve a God, oh, He's very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I feel a change in my life. Lord, I feel Your Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God, oh, He's very much alive. I feel a change in my life. You may have gone to church for a very long time. Oh, but every chance you got, you was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus, He came into your life. Ever since that day, your soul's been satisfied. You can say, I feel a change in my life. Oh, church, I feel His Spirit moving deep down inside. God, who is very much alive. Oh, I feel a change in my life. We serve a God who is very much alive. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, we serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. Something happened on the inside to change you. didn't just change the inside, but if he really came, it changed the outside too, didn't it? The way we talk, the way we dress, the way we act. Amen. Praise the Lord. Want to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having special meetings 4th of July weekend, Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning. That's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in our regular Sunday morning services. Brother Donnie Reagan will be preaching for us, and we will not be having a Sunday evening service 4th of July weekend. We'll be having our regular Sunday evening service today, but not 4th of July weekend. So remember those services in prayer, and we'll have, Lord willing, I'll announce some things about the church building at the end of service, but wanted to share a testimony with you. Sister Tina had come up for prayer last Sunday. She's been having migraines every day, almost, I guess, for months, and she wanted to testify that she hasn't had a migraine since last Sunday. So praise the Lord. Amen. God's still a healer, isn't he? Amen. He's Hebrews 13:8. He didn't change. He's still a healer, still a savior. Amen. If you have a need this morning, he's still the same God that he always was. We got several prayer requests. I want to remember Sophia Boylan, severe ear infection. And got a prayer request here. Please pray for our mother, Sister Norman Dodge. She's been moved to a different facility, and they are keeping her sedated, and now they think she has pneumonia. That's from Sister Joanne Beletka, so we'll certainly remember Sister Dodge in prayer. And then Brother Jimmy and Sister Patty, just remember them in prayer this morning. Sister Patty was rear-ended in a car accident on Tuesday, and Brother Jimmy, that was in her car, and then Brother Jimmy got rear-ended on Friday in his truck in a vehicle accident. They're both have quite a bit of neck pain from that, so I want to remember them in prayer. And Sister Lisa Cooley's uncle passed away Thursday, and the viewing is today, and the funeral's Monday down in Kentucky. So Brother Jeremy and Sister Lisa and the family are traveling down to Kentucky for that. I want to remember them in prayer during this time of loss, and also for Traveling Mercies. And Brother Furman and Sister April and their family are traveling today as well. And Brother Daniel and Sister Ashley and their family are traveling. And Brother Anthony requested prayer for Traveling Mercies. They're going to be traveling later this week through Louisiana and Texas for the Louisiana family camp. So I want to remember them in prayer. And how many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. All the Lord sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. I'm glad this morning that we serve a God who is very much alive. Amen. That we can take these requests to. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's a great honor and a privilege that we have this morning that we can talk to the Creator of the universe as our Father. Lord, we're so grateful that the little prophet pointed out to us that it's God with us, God in us, and God through us. No denomination, no organization, no religious system experiences that except your little humble barefoot bride. We're so grateful for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that's saved us from sin, degradation, unbelief. Lord, we know that this age is the most deceptive age ever. And the Bible says, take heed. Jesus said, take heed, lest no man deceive you. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom and revelation that helps us to recognize you in our midst. And we thank you, Lord, for resurrection power that's living within us. We've been raised from the dead, Lord, and we're standing in that resurrected power today, and we're grateful for it, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to ever be thankful. 10 lepers were healed, Lord, and only one came back to lay gratitude at your feet. Help us never to be guilty of that, Lord. We're grateful and we're thankful for all that you've done for us. And now we bring these needs before you, Lord. They're needs that only you can meet. And Lord Jesus, we have the testimonies of all the things that you've done for us in the past. You've never failed us once. You didn't always say yes, but you answered, and you'll never failed to answer your little bride. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet every need that's represented here today. I pray that you would bless Brother Nathan as he breaks the bread of life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to remember that we love you because you first loved us. We ask these things, Lord, in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
I'm sure you all feel like I do. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad that we have a place to meet with those of like faith, and we stand around the message that God's revealed to us and how we rejoice in it. This morning, we're going to continue with the 37th Psalms, and we'll read 11 through 20. And if I don't forget, we'll all read the 20th verse together. Last week, I was reading up through, and I got to the 10th, and I stopped and let you read it. So we'll try to stay on track this morning. It said, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming.
The wicked have drawn out the sword, and bent their bow, cast down the poor and needy, and slay such as be of a right conversation.
Their swords shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous.
The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever.
They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. All right, you may be seated.
God bless you. This time I believe we've got a special from the Eamon family.
God, it is the perfect blood. And if the perfect blood is loosing us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. There is now therefore no condemnation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There it is. His death gave us the blood. The blood has loosed us. There is now no condemnation. How can there be?
Appreciate that this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we are often tossed and driven on a restless sea of time. Somber skies, howling tempests, all to see the bright sunshine in that land of perfect day when our mishaps rolled away. Oh, we will understand it better by and by. Of the things that life demands, one of food, one of shelter, thirsty hills, barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, oh, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Let's stand and sing it, oh, singing by. Trials dark on every hand, seems we cannot understand. All the ways God would lead us to His blessed promised land. Oh, but He guides us with His eye, oh, and we'll follow till we die. Friends, we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, just worship Him this morning, oh, by and by. Lord, when that morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Shake somebody's hand.
stand while we sing it this morning.
Maybe you don't understand them. You wonder, Lord, why on earth is this happening and that happening all around? But we'll understand it better by and by. He's got it all under control. Amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 22 and verse 9. We're going to look at a thought this morning with the help of the Lord on the sin of Balaam. The sin of Balaam. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? I love when God asks a question because he already knows the answer, but he asks it as if he didn't know the answer. What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse them. Preadventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne this morning, how we can say like the children of Israel must have, we're blessed, Father. Oh, Lord, how blessed that we are, Father, when we begin to think of all that you've done for us, Lord, and where you've brought us from. Lord, how you saved us when we were lost. You healed us when we were sick. You filled us when we were empty. Lord, how that, Lord, many of us have children here that serving the Lord and families, Lord, serving the Lord. And Lord, you've got food on our table and shoes on our feet, Lord, a roof over our head. Oh, we're so blessed, Lord. We're so thankful, Father. Help us, Lord, as Brother Arnie said, never to be like the lepers that didn't return to give thanks. But Lord, we want to give you thanks this morning.
Amen.
We thank you for what you're doing for us in this age, Lord. Even as we see politics turning dark and the economy turning dark, everything shadows on every hand, Lord, as they're entering into Satan's Eden and it's becoming a Sodom and Gomorrah condition, but yet there's light still shining in the darkness, Father.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, how we're thankful that we're able to walk in the light. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us this morning, Father. Lord, may you push back every doubt of unbelief or fear, Father, this morning. And Lord, may you let us just to walk fully in the truth that you've given in this age. Let us believe it with all of our hearts, Lord, and live it with all of our lives. Lord, may we be willing even to give our lives for it if we have to, Father. Lord, be with each one represented here this morning. I ask you just to be with each family. Lord, continue to strengthen and give us, Lord, what we have need of for the journey. Lord, I just ask you to be with the continuation of the service. We want to make you welcome here, Father. Lord, may you have preeminence in our midst to do whatever you want to do. Lord, may you just anoint me to speak something that would encourage your people. May you anoint their hearts and ears to receive. Lord, if I would go to say anything that would be unpleasing to you, may you stop my mouth, Father. But Lord, if you lay something on my heart, may I not hold it back. Lord, may you just bless us this morning as we look into your word again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, Moab was a group of people that had come from relatives of Abraham's. And the Moabites were descendants of a child that was born to Lot by one of his daughters. So they were a distant relation to the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and began to sojourn through the land of Moab, this man Balak begins to look and to see that their numbers are like the sands of the sea, and he's afraid that they're going to come in and just take over everything. And so he knew that there was a prophet in the land at that time, and Brother Branham said he was a hireling prophet, but he was truly anointed. He had a gift, a prophetic gift, but this man had a money problem. And so he goes, Balak sends to Balaam, and he says, I want you to curse this people because they've come up against me, and I want you to curse them, and I want you to bless me. But Balaam even had enough sense to know that he couldn't say anything unless God said it. And so he goes in and he begins to go to prayer. I like what Brother Branham said about it, and does God ever change his mind about his word, in 1965. He said, you can't curse what God has blessed. You just can't. You just can't do it, he says. So, you know, people, many times they come against the bride of Jesus Christ. There's all type of persecution, political persecution, persecution from the outside churches, persecution from the inside churches, persecution from your neighbor, from your people at work or whatever it would be. But they can't curse what God has blessed. It's like the wolf, remember, with the three little pigs there. He could huff and puff, but that one pig's house was built on such a foundation that he couldn't blow it down. Well, I don't want to liken you to pigs this morning, but we do have something in common with them, that we have a foundation that it doesn't matter how much the devil huffs and puffs, he can't blow it down. He can't curse what God's already blessed. They can criticize it. They can make fun of it. They can do whatever they want, but you can't curse what God has blessed.
Verse 13 says, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went into Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balak and said to him, thus saith Balak." Now here's the problem. He was started off listening to thus saith the Lord, but then he began to be influenced by thus saith Balak. And there was a big difference between thus saith the Lord and thus saith Balak. Many times if we're not careful, we get around the message and we have thus saith the Lord, we believe that. Amen. You believe that this morning? We were sent thus saith the Lord. And we have the truth. We have, oh, at least three of you raised your hand, so I'm glad I've got a few believers. We believe we were sent a vindicated message in this age. A vindicated prophet of God. I can stand like Pilate and say, I find no fault with this man. Many have found all kinds of arguments and they've tried to come up with all kinds of criticisms and everything. But when I begin to look at the message, I find no fault with it. And we was brought a true and a vindicated word with thus saith the Lord behind it. But many times, if you're not careful around the message, whether it be message churches or message families or message groups, you know, we got all these, there's no denominations in the message, but there's little organizations within the message. This group's over here. And they go by a title of this doctrine, and that group's over there, and they go by a title of another doctrine, and this group's over here, and they go by the title of a church or a man or whatever it would be. But when we look at the message is pure, but many times what we've brought in around the message is a lot of thus saith Balak. Maybe not thus saith Balak, but thus saith sister so-and-so, or sister so-and-so said that brother so-and-so said that brother Branham said, or brother so-and-so said that they used to do it this way back in his denomination. But I'm not interested in thus saith Balak this morning. I'm interested in thus saith the Lord. I can put my confidence in thus saith the Lord. I can put my confidence, I can lay my internal destination on thus saith the Lord. I don't care what comes or what goes. We have a pure word. We have an infallible Bible with a vindicated message. We have the written word, the revealed word, and hopefully before me this morning, the living word. We have that. I don't need a lot of thus saith Balak to go along with it. A lot of these man-made doctrines that comes in that you can't wear watches or rings or certain colors or all these different man-made ideas that people come up with. I don't have time for thus saith Balak. I'm just trying to live thus saith the Lord. Amen. They came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now, Balaam already had the clean-cut decision from God. God had told him what to do. He said, don't you go down there with those men. Don't associate with them. Don't go down there and don't curse this people. They're already blessed. But now Balak begins to send back. First, he just sent some of his, you know, some of his close friends or whatever it would be. And didn't have a lot of political power and a lot of influence. And those men didn't have much effect. So now he sends back some princes that have a little bit more influence and have a little bit bigger bank accounts to write out a bigger check for him. He said, Balaam, whatever you want, you just tell me, we'll do it. And so instead of sticking with God's straight, clean-cut decision for him, he begins to go back and try to persuade God to his way instead of staying with God's way. Many times we pray that way. Lord, I know your word says this, but I'd really like to do this. Would it be okay? You better be careful you don't become a Balaam. Brother Branham said it this way in Faith Africa Trip Report 1952. He said, you always seek the face of God, and I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you. Don't you believe it, and you obey God. He said, will you do it? There's been many ministers and ministries and different things that have come around and persuaded people that it's okay for you to do this or it's okay for you to do that. But I don't care what any man says. If the message of the hour and the infallible word of God says contrary, I'll stay with the word and not man's ideas. Amen. Faith Africa Trip Report, 1952. He said, see, you, no matter who it is, when God tells you to do something, you do it. I don't care if it's your mother.
Daddy, if it's the pastor, if it's the prophet, or whoever it is, you listen to God. You got quite on a quote. I didn't say it, Brother Branham said it. It don't matter if it's me. It don't matter if it's your mommy or your daddy or your uncle or somebody that's got a lot of money in the bank account that you think can help you if you get on their good side. If God leads you to do something, you better do what God's leading you to do, not what man says, not what your family says, not what somebody's trying to influence you to do. Oh my, a lot of times we begin to look to other people, and it's okay. It's wonderful, to have godly counsel, but my Holy Ghost isn't just godly counsel. If I have the Holy Ghost, I don't have to go to the secretaries and the foremans and the supervisors and all that. I can go straight to the main man. Brother Branham said it this way. He said there was a Catholic boy that was dying in the battlefield, and he was wounded, and they knew he wasn't going to have much time to live, and he began to pray and seek God, and God healed him. And when he was healed, he came back to the church, and the priest began to ask him, said, "Well, what happened during that time when he was laying there on the battlefield bleeding to death? Did you say a Hail Mary, or what did you say?" He said, "No, I didn't want no secretary." He said, "I wanted the main man." Amen. So I'm not interested in other mediators between God and man. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. You don't have to get Brother Nathan's permission to be saved. You don't have to get Brother Nathan's permission to get the Holy Ghost. You can't come up here and shake my hand and get it. You can't come up here and just, touching me won't give you healing or give you any virtue. But if you can touch the hem of his garment, there's still virtue to be found.
Amen.
He said, "You listen to God." The problem is, many times we want a second opinion. Many times we have a message of 1,200 and something sermons that we can go and search. And usually if there's a question, Brother Bram said it this way, I was telling a brother this morning, if there's a scriptural question, usually there's a scriptural answer for it somewhere. And we have a plethora of knowledge that we can go to and search. But many times what happens is we go and we begin to search and we realize, uh-oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. Because I want to go do this, but Questions and Answers 1964, Brother Bram said to do this. And so we begin to go to, maybe somebody in our family that knows the message a little bit better than us. Or maybe we go to the pastor, or maybe we go to one of the deacons. And what we're really doing, if we'll admit it to ourselves, we're trying to find a loophole. I don't have any loopholes for you this morning. I don't have any loopholes to bypass marriage and divorce or predestination or serpent seed or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the new birth or any of these things. I don't have a loophole to get you around whatever you're trying to get around, but we do have the truth by the grace of God.
Amen.
Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. He said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father." He said, if you're born of the Spirit of God, or if you're a son of God, then you're led by the Spirit of God. The problem is, most people don't have enough confidence in the Holy Ghost, so they have to get a surrogate. And they find somebody in their family, or they find somebody in the church, and they find somebody else that when they have a need, they begin to go and say, "Well, what about this? And is it okay if I do this? And is it okay if I do that?" And if you're not careful, you get around the wrong influence, and maybe that person has a legalistic spirit on them, and you'll be right back here in the spirit of bondage and fear that, oh my, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we shouldn't do these things over here, and shouldn't do those. And many times not a quote or a scripture or a leg to stand on, because people have listened to men with, that have all kinds of ideas, and that's all right to have ideas. I have ideas too. It's all right to have convictions. I have convictions too. There's some things that I don't feel led to do that might not bother Brother Trevor at all. I don't have a quarter of scripture to tell him not to do it, but I have my personal convictions and I should stay with those. But I can't get up here and beat you over the head with my personal convictions. We're here to teach the word, not man's ideas or convictions. Numbers chapter 22, verse 18. "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less
or more. Now, if he would have stopped right there, he would have been okay. Many of us this morning, maybe you're facing situations in your life. If you'll stop right there, you'll do okay. I can't go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do more or less. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. When you're about to step across that line and you know the word says not to, and you know that you don't have any scripture or any quote to stand on, but your own will is wanting to drive you across that line to do things that you know is beyond the word of God and contrary to the word of God and anti-word, and you go ahead and begin to step across that line, you better watch it, Balaam. You want God's will more than you want God's will. But if we could stop and say, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. There's a boundary that's set around me. Remember, Adam and Eve had it in the Garden of Eden. As long as they stayed behind the word, they were okay. But when they stepped beyond the boundary of the word and they got out of the will of God, not just because they disobeyed one word. And then many times people get around the message and they want to take the quotes that they want when they want and apply the ones they want when they want. And sometimes this year these quotes apply and this year these quotes don't apply. No, the word of God doesn't change. Amen. Popular opinion and politics and people's ideas change, but the word of God doesn't change. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So now he's going back. He already has a clean-cut decision from God, but he's wanting to find a loophole. Lord, I know you said this, but this is what my flesh really wants to do. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Brother Bram says it this way, trying to do God a service without it being God's will, 1965. He said he told Balaam, don't you go. And then Balaam could come back and say, but Lord, could I go? Now look, God said, go on. Now you give him permission to go. There is a permissive will of God and not the original will of God. You see what a trouble he got into? Oh my. Many times we say, oh, well, I know this is out of the will of God, but I'll just walk in his permissive will for a while. Why don't you see how it turned out for men in the Bible? Men like Balaam and different ones that had that idea. Well, I know God wants me to do this. I know this is his perfect will, but I'll just walk in his permissive will for a little while. I believe that would be okay. Lord, is it okay if I go over here and do this? Is it okay if I trim my hair just a little bit? Is it okay if I wear my skirts just about this much above the knee? Or is it okay if I do this or do that? You know, if you really believe the word of God, you wouldn't do those things. I came to have church this morning. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you wish you were still in bed with the covers pulled over your head. But this thing is coming to a capstone very quickly. It's not playing around time. It's going home time. There was a bride that had made herself ready. Her lamps were cleaned and trimmed. She had oil in her lamp, and there was another group that sat around and said, well, we'll get oil later. We'll wait. You know, there's still some other things we'd like to do. Lord, I know your word says this, but we'd like to do this, this, and this. And, you know, I know I shouldn't wear clothes like this. I know I shouldn't watch these kind of movies. I know I shouldn't act this way. I know I shouldn't go to these type of worldly entertainments and things because your word says things against it. But Lord, could I go? Would it be okay if I just did this much? Would it be okay if I just had, you know, just a little bit of this in my life and a little bit of that over there? It's time to cross the separating line between life and death. And you're going to cross it one day, one way or the other. For me, I'll take the word. Give me Jesus. Church Age Book, page 202. He says, when Balaam asked God for permission to go, God turned him down. My, that stung. But Balak insisted, promising him even greater rewards and honor. So Balaam went back to God. Now, one answer from God should have been enough, but not for self-willed Balaam. You know, it's interesting when people come and, you know, I know many different ones, whether it be at our church or whether it be at other churches, whether it be other brothers in leadership. Many times people come and they ask you a question, say, Brother Nathan, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, what did the message teach? What did the Bible teach? And when you begin to show them what the Word says, and then they walk away and do the opposite anyhow, why waste both of our time? I've heard of people going to Brother Joseph and getting a counseling session and taking up his time when he's got people around the world wanting to have a few moments with him. And he'd give them advice on what to do about a situation and walk right out and do the opposite, whether it be on marriage and divorce or whatever situation it would be. Why waste his time? Why waste your time? I'd be more scared to go and ask the man if I wasn't going to do it. If you're going to do what you want to do, just go what you want to do. Don't waste these men of God's time. If you've already got your mind made up and you're going to do something contrary to what the Word says. Page 203 of the Church Age book. See the doctrine of Balaam? Go ahead anyway. Do it your way. They say, well, God has blessed us. It must be all right. I know He has blessed you. I don't deny that. But it's the same organizational route that Balak took. It's defiance to God's word. It's false teaching. When you go and you boldly, just in the face of God's word, you see the word of God, you hear it on the tapes, you hear it preached over the pulpit, guest ministers come and preach it, we sing songs about it, we read the quotes, we read the scriptures, and you see it plain as black and white, and then you walk right around and do the exact opposite. Don't you realize that's a scary thing? Numbers chapter 22, verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. You say, Brother Nathan, you're going to make somebody mad this morning. What if somebody leaves the church over the way you preach? You preach so hard sometimes. If you think I preach hard, you should go back and listen to some tapes. Maybe you haven't been listening to enough tapes lately. Maybe we should play God of This Evil Age or Satan's Eden or Jezebel Religion or Why We're Not a Denomination or Marriage and Divorce, some of these cutting sermons. Maybe we should play some of those if you think I preach hard. But many times, you know, we just let that go in one ear and out the other because he's talking about Elvis and I Love Lucy and some of those things, and you just let it just run through and you don't pay any attention to it. But I believe in accountability. I believe that God's word holds us accountable. And once we've come to the knowledge of the truth and we see the word presented for us, there's grace. But Paul said, don't make grace a disgrace. You don't want God's anger kindled against you. And Balaam goes and he's heard the clean-cut decision from God, but he walks right on ahead anyhow. He doesn't care what God said. He wants his way. So he goes and he keeps asking God. And finally God says, you go ahead, Balaam. You go ahead. Have it your way. Do it your way. But you'll be walking in my permissive will, not my perfect will. Does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965. And he heard the plain, clean-cut decision of God. Don't you go. Don't try to curse what I've blessed. Them as my people. But you know what? Balaam didn't like them people to begin with. how many Balaams is there in the world today? We've still got them today. We've still got them today. Even a little sex around the message. This group over here and this group over there. They're almost excited when they hear somebody outside of their group backslid or whatever it would be. I knew it. I knew they was just an old serpent seed or an old infidel. Don't you realize what spirit you've got on you? You old Balaam, you didn't like him to begin with, so just let him go on to hell, I guess.
Amen.
The True Easter Seal, 1961. That's the reason we stay with the things we do, because they are God's orders and God's gospel, and we've got to stay with it just the way it's wrote, whether agreed, whether you're hated, whether no matter what takes place, that doesn't have one thing to do with it. God wants clean-cut decisions. And how can you do it when you know you're wrong to begin with? How can you come and sit in church and you know, try to live a clean and holy life when you know there's still things out there that you need to go make right? When you know that there's still things that you're just walking along your way instead of God's way, don't you realize one of these days you're going to have to meet that somewhere? Maybe you'll meet it here. Maybe you'll meet it at the judgment. But one way or another, we're going to have to come to a head on these things at some point. I love this next part of the story. It's such a, you know, people criticize the message and walk away from it and say the message is unscientific. They need to go back and read their Bible. Oh my, some unscientific things took place in the Bible. Jonah was swallowed by a fish that was prepared especially for him, and GPS had located him at the exact spot at the exact time that he was thrown into the water with his hands and feet tied. It swallows him. It goes down to sub-zero depths. He's down there without oxygen. He's down there for 3 days and three nights and survives, and God hears his prayer, delivers him where he's supposed to be. The people worship a fish god, see him walk out of a fish's mouth. Explain the scientific qualities of that story. 3 men walked up to a fiery furnace one time that was heated hotter than it had ever been, to where even the men that was leading up there died from the heat. Couldn't even get close to it. And they walk in, look around, walk around. They say, oh my, I thought we put 3 men in there. Looks like there's 4. The 4th one looks like the Son of God. I don't know how he knew what the Son of God looked like. And they walk out the other side. And I used to have some family members that I couldn't get around them very long without smelling like I was a cigarette smoker. And they stood right there in the middle of the flames, stood there, looked around, the ropes burnt off of them, they walked out, their hair didn't scorch. Some of you sisters with hairspray, that'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? Walked through the fiery furnace, didn't smell like smoke, didn't singe their clothes, didn't singe their hairs, came out with their eyebrows fully intact. Some of you brothers can't even start your barbecue with that testimony. That's unscientific, but I believe it. Amen. Numbers chapter 22, verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his horn drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that. Now sometimes we try to bypass God's word, and we try to find a loophole over here, and oh, here's another quote over here standing in the way. And we say, well, we'll try to, maybe we can go around this way, and here's a scripture over here preventing us. And God just puts the angel of the Lord in our path and keeps preventing us. But then we still, well, brother so-and-so said it was wrong, and the deacon said it was wrong, the pastor said it was wrong, the message says it's wrong, the Bible says it's wrong, but maybe I'll go get an 8th opinion. Maybe I'll find somebody that'll say it's okay. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Now, he wasn't having a very good day. He was pretty upset by this time. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times? Now here we have a donkey talking to a man. And they say the message is unscientific. You believe this story? Or have you got so liberalistic and in this age of all this crazy stuff that goes on that they pick what they want and they say this is inspired over here and this isn't over there? That's not just in the atheist camps or the denominational camps. That spirit comes right down into the message, and ministers will get up and try to tell you when Brother Branham was anointed and when he wasn't anointed. I'm here to tell you I don't have that ability. Maybe they think they do. But I never heard of Joshua going over and saying, now look, we're getting ready to go into the promised land, but there's some things I want to point out. Now, Moses, he got really mad one time, and he smote the rock, and, you know, he wasn't anointed then. But then, you know, the other time when he smote the rock, and he was supposed to, he was anointed then. And you know, he got mad and killed a man one time down in Egypt, and he wasn't under the anointing then. But then he came around and led the children through the Red Sea, and all of Pharaoh's army was destroyed, and he was under the anointing then. Joshua didn't try to figure all that out. He just said, God sent a prophet.
Amen.
God thought it. He spoke it. I believe it. That settles it. Moses had been dead for years, and all through the book of Joshua, he keeps saying, Moses said, Moses said, Moses said. He didn't say, this wasn't inspired over here, and we're here to correct this over here. He just said, remember what Moses said.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not here to correct the prophet. I'm here to remind you what the prophet said. Oh my. And Balaam said to the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, how would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. Now he's going to have PETA on him for animal cruelty. I would there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Now we have a man talking like a donkey and a donkey talking like a man. It's interesting sometimes how God will change the tables on you, isn't it? You be careful what you say. Sometimes God will make you eat those words. The children of Israel, 1947. And finally the mule spoke out with a human voice. Look, a dumb mule, a dumb brute. He said, if an angel of God could speak through a dumb brute, couldn't he speak through a man? Now, I know message people don't believe this today, but that's what he said. I know it's way back in 47, and most people throw those away, but I just happen to believe it from 47 to 65, Genesis to Revelations. I'll just take what he said. I think I'm smarter than a donkey. Maybe some of you disagree. But if God could speak through a dumb brute, he said, if an angel of God could speak through a dumb brute, couldn't he speak through a man? The people are too blind to see him. He said, God's able of these stones to rise unto Abraham. He says again, Israel in the church, 1953. If God can speak through a dumb mule, surely he could through a man. Yes, sir. Numbers chapter 22, verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Now here he is. He's had the clean-cut decision of God, but because he tries to override the word of God and have it his way, the angel of the Lord says unto him, thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. It wasn't the donkey's fault that Balaam was going to be stubborn and do. Many times, you know, if we're not careful, those around us pay for our mistakes. But the angel of the Lord said, I was going to leave the donkey stay alive and just slay you. But many times, if we're not careful, what will take place? There's other stories in the Bible. Remember the sin of Achan? How that he stole a garment and some money and hid it under his tent. It didn't just affect him, it affected his family. Remember those that wanted to set a political trap for Daniel and threw him in the lion's den, but the pillar of fire was there to guard Daniel in the lion's den. And when he came out and was delivered, the king cast them into the lion's den. Just so happened they didn't have a vindicated pillar of fire following their ministry. And it didn't just affect them, they threw their families in there too. Many times if you're not careful, you bring an atmosphere. Maybe it's an atmosphere of bitterness that, oh, all these people over here, they're this, or this person over here did something to me. And you bring that atmosphere of bitterness into your home. Or maybe you bring an atmosphere of temptation into your home around your children by the atmosphere you allow them to be in, or the movies you allow them to watch or to be played in your home, or the things you allow them access to. And what does it do? You create an atmosphere in your home, if you're not careful, it'll absolutely affect your children for years and years and years to come, and they'll maybe struggle with things and struggle with spirits and temptations and all kinds of things because you were too stubborn and wanted your way instead of staying under the protection of God's word. But you can bring a different type of atmosphere into your home as well. Brother Branham said how we need to bring the family altar back to the homes, but many times we're too busy. We've got too much work to do, or too many sports to play, or too many hobbies to keep up with, that the family altar just gets left to the side. We better put God first again. Amen. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Does God change his mind? 1965. Brother Bram says it this way. He says, oh dear God, We don't want your permissive will, Father. Let us walk in your perfect will. Let us not just take a word here and there and make it to fit a dogma or a creed or something. Let us take the word as it is, believing the full gospel, all that Jesus taught for us to do. We do not believe that the Acts of the Apostles is just the framework. We believe it's the Word of God. It's the Acts of your Holy Spirit in the Apostles. And we believe that the same Holy Spirit, Lord, that come upon them and the way they acted, it'll do the same thing in us when it comes upon us if it's the same Spirit. The same thing they had on the day of Pentecost. He said, it'll come the same way upon us if it's the same Spirit. So why do we try to substitute it for something else? People say, oh my, if you just can say amen to all the word. Well, if you're just saying it with your lips, the devil can do that. The devil believes and trembles. He can stand there and say amen, 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 amen. But it's not just being able to say amen, it's being able to live amen. When the word says something, the devil can get up and lie. He can amen and fake it, but he can't live it. He can't put it into action in his life. That's what separates him from the bride of Jesus Christ. We can do more than just lip service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we can put the word into action in our own life. If the word says something, we can go and apply that to our lives. It's not just enough. There's many people, as I've said before, that have walked away from the message and are making fun of it that still have the books and tapes lining the walls. The problem is that what was on those books and tapes never came off onto their lives. There's many denominational churches and the Billy Graham Library and different ones that have the books and tapes on the walls, but they didn't apply what was on those books and tapes to their lives. Many of them, even around Pentecost, said, oh, he was a good man, he was a prophet, he was all these different things. Well, if they believed that, why didn't they come out of their organizational system? Why didn't they come away from all their traditions of man and their bobbed-haired women and short-wearing all these different things, sissy men running around, you see them out on the street and it almost makes you want to gag, and their little short shorts. Heard a Pentecostal preacher say one time, it'll either make you lust or it'll make you gag. Sadly anymore, you look around, you almost want to gag. Men dressed like women and women dressed like men going into the wrong bathrooms. I know this will get me in trouble sometime, but that's okay. It got Peter in trouble. It got Paul in trouble, but they still stood for what was true. We're living in a perverted age. It's Sodom and Gomorrah again, where people have turned their back on the Word of God, and they've turned their back on the very morals that this nation was founded on, and they're clinging to all kinds of perverted ideas and all kinds of perverted things, and you can show them in the Word of God. The Word of God says this, and they don't care a bit more about that than anything. Even a lot of Christians, so-called. They don't care. Well, our church teaches this. I don't care what your church teaches. What does the Word of God say? Your church shouldn't be your absolute. The Word of God should be your absolute. Amen. The sin of Balaam was that he wanted his will more than he wanted God's will. He wanted to go ahead. It didn't matter what God said. He wanted to keep coming back and trying to find a loophole or trying to find a way to do it. I hope we can open up our eyes this morning and recognize what condition that got him in. That if we could just submit ourselves to the Word of God, and I realize that surrender is many times the hardest thing to do, that we don't want to surrender sometimes our will and our thoughts and our ideas. But if we could submit ourselves to the Word of God and come under not what Brother Nathan says, not Brother Nathan's ideas or Brother Nathan's creeds or Brother Nathan's dogmas or traditions of man or whatever, we're not here to get you to bow down into that. But if we can submit ourselves to the Word of God and come under subjection to the Word of God and walk in His perfect will, that He's going to bless us, He's going to take care of us. It may seem like things are bad, it may seem like circumstances are terrible, it may seem like the Word's falling apart, but if we can stay behind the shelter of the Word, He'll take care of us. But when we step out from around that, we do just like Adam and Eve did, and the day you eat thereof, the day you shall die. What is it in this age? Brother Branham said it's spiritual death. Spiritual death. Hide us under your wings, Lord, is my prayer. I don't want to walk like Balaam, and just because I want something, try to find a loophole. Or if I've got 10 quotes and 10 scriptures over here, try to find one little sentence over somewhere to try to make a loophole so that I can work around and get what I want. I realize there's people that do that today. They'll run off with one little sentence and say, this is what we believe, when if they'd look at the whole thing, it would absolutely contradict what they're saying. But what is it? They've found what they think is a loophole to get what they want. But I don't want what I want. I want what he wants. Amen. God bless you this morning. If the musicians would come. We have the truth. Let's just walk in the truth. How many wants to be a sanctuary? Oh Lord, prepare me a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, oh, and with thanksgiving, Lord, I'll be a your desire. Oh, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my words, but your words. Pure and holy, tried and true. Oh, and with have me go, whatever you'd have me do. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Oh, with thanksgiving. Father, Lord, that's truly our desire this morning. Lord, that you could come and make your abode in human hearts. Lord, that we could be a sanctuary that you would be pleased to dwell in. Lord, help us to lay aside things that would be contrary to your word. Lord, when we look in the face of the scriptures, when we look in the face of the quotes and things, Lord, that we know that your word says. Lord, help us not to, Lord, try to press ourselves into some type of permissive will because of our will, because of our desire. When we know things, Lord, might be unpleasing to you or contrary to your word, help us, Lord, to lay aside our foolishness, to lay aside our selfishness, our pride, our human weakness, our fleshly desires. Help us to lay it aside, Father, for your perfect will. Lord, I'd rather be walking in your perfect will. I don't care if I was in the jungles of Africa or down in Haiti or Mexico or wherever it would be. If that's where your will would be, Father, I'd be safer there than I would be in my own living room and be out of your will. Lord, wherever you would send, wherever you would have us to go, whatever you would have us to do, Lord, help us to submit ourselves to your word, not to creeds and traditions of man and all these other man-made things that try to come around the message, Father, but help us to submit ourselves to your word. And if we see something in your word, help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to it, to walk in the light that you've shown. Lord, if there's a stubborn spirit that's trying to keep us from it, that would hold us back because we want our own will more than we want yours, Father, forgive us this morning. take that thing from us. We don't want to be a Balaam, Lord, but we want to walk in the truth. Lord, you've given us the light. Help us to walk in the light. Be with us, Father, we pray. Lord, if there's any here, maybe they've run into things in their life that they know is contrary to the word, but Satan's tried to lie to them. He's tried to prevent them from coming on under the protection of the word, and they've still got one foot in Sodom and one foot in the word. Help them, Father, to fully submit to you. Help them to surrender their lives to you this morning. Not just when they're at church, not just when they're around the pastor, the deacons, or their close Christian friends, but on their job, or Lord, when they're out going to their fellowships, or Lord, to their places of school, or wherever it would be, out in the stores, or wherever you would lead them, wherever you would take them in their life, Father, help them to live a life that's pure and holy before you. A life that would be worthy of the gospel. A life that would be pleasing to you, Father. Help us to have our hand out, Lord, to anyone that needs help. Lord, no matter of their background, no matter of their race or their creed or their color, Lord, help us to tear down walls of partition that have been built up by man's ideas and traditions of man. Lord, to realize that you came and you died to save everyone that's willing to accept it. Lord, help us not to think that we're somebody just because you've showed us truth. But Lord, help us to be willing to go wherever you would send us. Lord, to reach out, whether it's the lowest, vilest sinner, whatever it would be. Help us to have grace in our heart, because you gave us grace when we needed it, Father. Lord, help us to have a hand out to dying humanity, Father. So many, Lord, that are deceived into believing some man's idea or some traditional way of thinking instead of staying with your word. Help us to cast down these reasonings and loopholes and ideas of man, but help us to cling to the cross. Help us to cling to your word, Father. Lord, help us to do anything we can, Lord, to be an encouragement to others. Oh, Lord, help us never to think that it's just our little group or our four and no more, but help us to have love enough for the blanket to stretch over somebody else. Oh, there's such a spirit in this age, Father, where people are dividing and separating over every little thing, and they think if you're not of this group or that group, you're just deceived and lost and blind. But Lord, the only group I'm concerned about is just walking in the light, staying in your word. Lord, your prophet told us, we read it Wednesday night, anything that's for this word is our brother. He may have a little bit different, peculiar idea than we do, but Lord, if it's for the word, it's our brother. Anything that's contrary to the word, anything that's against the word, that's our enemy, not the person. Jesus turned around and told Peter, he said, "Satan, get behind me." He wasn't speaking to the person. He was speaking to the spirit that was anointing Peter to say things contrary to the word. Help us to recognize this, not our brothers or sisters that we're fighting, but it's spirits that get on people to make them say things or do things contrary to the word. Help us, Father, not to do anything that would be unpleasing to you. Help us to walk pure before you. Help us to stay humble, Father, never to get puffed up or think that we're something better than somebody else. It's just your grace that's brought us safe this far. We believe it'll be your grace that'll lead us home. Be with us, Father, we pray. We love you. Help us to have more love in our hearts, not just for those that see the way we see or believe the way we believe or those that are close to us or that'll pat us on the back, but help us to even be able to love our enemies. Those that hate us and despitefully use us and would persecute us if they had the chance. Help us to love, Father, the way that you would love. Help us to walk the way that you would walk. Help us to talk the way that you would talk, Father. Give us strength for the journey, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we love you, Lord.
Tried and true. I'll be a living sanctuary for you, O God.
This morning, oh, he answers prayer. Oh, I know he still answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Oh, yes, my God.
Sing 486, Make Me More Like Thee.
Mighty King, Master.
God bless you this morning. Wanted to give you a quick update on the building situation. We had made them an offer in regards to leasing the building there on Silver Street in New Albany, and they rejected the lease offer. Their reasoning is because the church that we'd be taking over from, they had gone down to 20 members, and then when they announced about the sale of the building, they actually have dropped down to 15 members now, and they're afraid that the local church here is just going to dissolve completely, so they don't want to get a lease option because there wouldn't be anybody to maintain anything there with the lease if there was a problem. So the deacons and trustees and myself met yesterday, and we voted to move forward with trying to purchase the building. So we just wanted to bring that before the church. I know when Brother Branham had the new tabernacle built, he said the trustees had voted to do it, and then they brought it before the church to vote on that. So we feel like since it is a big decision, we want to bring that before the church to vote. If we vote to move forward, Brother Stephen and myself will be meeting with some banks this week to try to get pre-approved for the loan, and if so, we'll be moving forward with that as quickly as possible. They're asking $299,000 for the building, and we're going to try to get that on a 15-year lease. We'll need between 10% and 20% down for that, and we have some money saved back for that, but if they want 20% down, we wouldn't have enough to be able to cover that, so we may have to take up an offering and just see how the Lord provides if that be the case. One of the brothers wanted me to read a quote one of the deacon brothers did in regards to the building funds, and this is from Questions and Answers in 1961. They asked him, would it be wrong to use tithes on church building funds? And he said, well, now here's a touchy little thing for the church now. He said, no, correctly, tithes is to go to the minister. That's right. In the Bible, they had a box they'd set at the door in the Old Testament when the building, this fund was where the people put in for the repairing. You've read it many times in the Old Testament. They kept up the buildings and things like that. All the repairs on the building was taken care of out of that fund. What we do here at the church is we do take the tithes and put it into one lump sum. I take a salary out of that, and then we take the some of the tithes to make the payments on the church and things, just because our offerings and building funds and stuff aren't enough to suffice for that. We've been working on a box to have one of the sisters here has for the church fund. But in the meantime, if you have something you want to donate to the church fund, you're welcome to do that. The tithe envelopes there have a checkbox for the church building fund, and we'll be praying about this as far as moving forward. We just want the Lord's perfect will. We believe that the price they're asking is pretty fair for the building, but we're going to offer them a little bit lower than that and see what they say and go from there once we're pre-approved for the loan, God willing. And we just want to, at this time, if you just bow your heads, you deacon brothers, we can just take count of this. Brother Bram said for votes for the church that those that were eligible for the vote are those that support the church with their tithes and offerings and with their attendance at the church. So with that considered, how many want to move forward with attempting to purchase the building? Would you just raise your hands for the new church building? All right, you can lower your hands. And is there any that would be opposed to moving forward with trying to purchase the building? Would you raise your hand? All right, you can raise your heads. Amen. Did you see the platform? I didn't look at the platform, but I believe unless somebody on the platform voted no, with 100% vote, we'll move forward to try to purchase the building. With the terms and things that we're looking at, actually the cost of the building as far as the payment won't be any more than what we've been paying to lease the storefront or to rent this building, but there will be taxes and insurance and utilities and some things like that that'll be extra, but that shouldn't be any problem. And if you feel led to give to the building fund, you just do as you feel led. We're not trying to pull you for money or persuade you or anything like that. Just if you have something extra you want to give and you have it on your heart, that would be fine. But we'll look forward. We believe the Lord is moving in this direction. The leadership of the church, myself and the trustees and the deacons, we hadn't really discussed it, but I think we'd all kind of individually been praying after we had talked about the lease. I was mainly wanting to do that for just so we could be in there a year and make sure there wasn't anything wrong with the building or anything like that. But I had been praying that if it was the Lord's will for us to purchase, that the lease just wouldn't work out. And I think the rest of the brothers had been praying the same way, and most of them wanted to move forward with the purchase. And we're going to try to get the Sister Claudia, the real estate agent, told us there's even with commercial real estate, you can do like you do when you're purchasing a home and get home buyer's insurance on the building to where if anything major would go wrong in the first year, it would cover that. So that's kind of a relief to our mind as well. So we appreciate your vote and your prayers and all that you're doing financially for the church, and we're just excited to see things moving forward. We want to try to get in there as soon as we can because we have to be out of here by June 30th. So as soon as we get a pre-approval, we'll move forward with making them an offer and hopefully be in there. I'd like to be in by next Sunday because that's Father's Day, and that'd be a good Father's Day present for me. But it's also next Sunday, June the 19th, will be 5 years since we had our first service when we started in the home. So it's kind of a special date to us. So we're going to push and see if we can try to get things through as quickly as possible. If we get everything set up and signed, and as far as the offer and the proof and all that moving forward, we may be able to take possession of it before everything is completely finalized. But that'll be up to them. But I feel it would be in both parties' probably best interest at this point because they're wanting to sell it and we're wanting to buy it. But you just keep it in prayer. We want the Lord's perfect will. Let's stand together this morning. Remember, service tonight at 6:30. It may be a short service, depending on how hot it is in here. The ACs have been having a hard time keeping up with the heat, so we may not have a real long service tonight, depending on how hot it is in the building. But Brother Bram said we're trying to escape a place that's a lot hotter. And the good news is, I know I've announced it once before, but some of you may not have been here, the new church building has 4 AC units, so... God is so good. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amen. This is number 8 in your hymn book. Let's just sing it together. Oh, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, I'm pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Oh, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win, and oh, I want to see Him. Oh, it's there to sing forever of His saving grace. Oh, let me lift my voice on that last ever. And when in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Oh, Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside.